Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 41, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. A most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way. And what follows, 41, 1, 2, and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 9, the verses 1 through 9. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, Article 15. Acts 9, the first 9 verses. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Thus far the scripture reading. From the Confession of Faith, article number 15. We believe that through the disobedience of Adam, original sin is extended to all mankind, which is a corruption of the whole nature and a hereditary disease, wherewith infants themselves are infected, even in their mother's womb, and which produceth in man all sorts of sin, being in him as a root thereof, and therefore is so vile and abominable in the sight of God, that it is sufficient to condemn all mankind. Nor is it by any means abolished or done away by baptism, since sin always issues forth from this woeful source, as water from a fountain. And notwithstanding, it is not imputed to the children of God unto condemnation, but by his grace and mercy is forgiven them. And not that they should rest securely in sin, but that a sense of this corruption should make believers often to sigh, desiring to be delivered from this body of death. Wherefore we reject the error of the Pelagians, who assert that sin proceeds only from imitation. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, the doors of thy house have been opened by renewal. Then thou yet grantest opportunity in this afternoon to enter through those doors and for others to listen along. Then on this summer day, then thou yet grantest the shady place where we may meet. Then also on this day, then thou yet grantest some clouds that there may be a little shade. Then thou grantest so much instruction out of the realm of nature unto us and our children. Then thou art teaching us that we need a shade for our never-dying soul from thy wrath. Lord, wilt thou work that need, and wilt thou place us and our children under the shadow of that rock, then it is well for time and for eternity. Then in this morning hour, then we have heard of a separation. And then each time we come up to thy house, then thy word includes or it excludes. And then we are called upon to listen attentively and to examine our hearts in the light of thy holy word, to which people we belong. To that end, Lord, we humbly beg of thee that thou may convert sinners by thy irresistible grace in this afternoon hour, that they may learn that they have no shade, and that the shade of thine own making, that it is too short, and with all our works, that it shall not place us, deliver us from thy wrath, but that we need that precious mediator. Lord, remember thy people. Wilt thou lead further in the mysteries of salvation? We have heard out of the writings of our forefathers based upon thy holy word, that there are many reasons for thy people to sigh, because of that inward corruption. Wilt thou grant more of that sign in the life of that people? Wilt thou grant that tender and that close life, burdened with that corruption, and that there may be a fleeing each time by renewal to that fountain, that precious blood that cleanses from all sin. O Lord, without that fountain, it would be lost for us and our children. Then thou also knowest most perfectly how that we have come under the means of grace, come up to thy house in this afternoon hour. And may there have been many true prayers sent up unto thee, the living God, with the confession of sin, with the confession of all of our transgressions. May there have come up a people ashamed because of their sin and burdened because of their debt. And, Lord, in the life of thy true children, there can be so many questions and there can be so many riddles, and that in the way of grace, that with the Rebecca they learn to ask, how am I thus, two nations? And they strive against each other, but then we read that she went to inquire of the Lord. But there can also be such riddles and questions in the way of thy divine providence. And then it is so indispensable that we receive light from above, Lord. Be then a surprising God in this afternoon hour. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Jacob has become small, and it has also become dim. But thou still as a church upon the earth shall always be, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And may we be concerned that we belong to that true church. Oh, we remember our theological school, remember the students, when they may speak an edifying word be on their left and on their right. And may the labors be blessed, and may they receive tokens of thy special favor, because when it is of thee, then the devil, then he shall persecute and assault. Remember all mission work, our mission field, thy servants, the team with their families, where many times that separation is felt and experienced. May they experience that they are an everywhere present God, then it shall be good. Well, to grant an administrator and another church worker. Remember the beloved for the Father's sake. Such a cloud, such a veil is over them. May it please thee to take that veil away, that they may be given to understand, but more so in the way of experience, that the Messiah has come, and that he sitteth at thy right hand as prophet, a priest, and king. Remember the persecuted church so many places upon this world. Well, I remember that people in Nigeria, as a mourning people, the wounded, overwhelmed, distressed, may they be given to cry unto thee. Wilt thou spare from rebellion, and may that blood, and may it be used for the extension of thy kingdom, that enemies may be made friends. Remember all Bible translators, press upon their hearts and minds, that they are dealing with the holy word of God. And those that bring thy word to faraway countries, many times many impossibilities and many difficulties, when there is no way, make a way and add thy blessing. Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou continue to uphold, sanctify the callings. Remember all our elderly ones. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones under the physician's care. Remember the sick relatives. Remember the old mother and the old father in the hospital. We commend them unto thee for body and for soul. Wilt thou remember the handicapped ones, with those that may lovingly care for them. Wilt thou encourage them. Wilt thou remember the distressed ones, the discouraged ones. Wilt thou uphold them, grant them a place at thy footstool. Remember the family circles, Lord. Wilt thou grant thy gracious help in this morning, in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers. Wilt thou grant a few empty vessels, and those that are full, may they be emptied. Ah, wilt thou be a surprising God. And when we may return to our homes, that we may say it was good to be in thy house. Ah, come over, make it an unforgettable service. remember young and old. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 173, the verses 1 through 4. All lands to God and joyful sounds. Aloft your voices raise. Sing forth the honor of his name and glorious thank and glorious make his praise. And what follows, 173, the four stanzas. in this afternoon hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 9, at the verses 3, 4, and 5. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Our text words speak of Jesus Christ arresting Paul on the way to Damascus. Four thoughts in the first place. Jesus's powerful stopping. Secondly, Jesus's uncovering question. Thirdly, Jesus's drawing love. And fourthly, Jesus's convicting reproof. Jesus Christ arresting Paul on the way to Damascus. Jesus's powerful stopping. Jesus's uncovering question. Jesus's drawing love. And Jesus's convicting reproof. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last time that Saul, we shall call him Paul in this afternoon, that he was a very religious man, that he was very serious. He was concerned to be a sheep and not a goat. Paul was concerned about at the end receiving a place in heaven, that he would not have to go to hell. We have heard a very religious, good religious education has sat at the feet of Dr. Gamaliel, a very well-known theologian in the New Testament church. Then it is clear that Paul, that he had many special gifts and talents, able to learn, zeal, exercise for the church. But the difficulty with Paul was that he was using those talents under a wrong master, was under the prince of darkness, and he knew it not. 'Tis a blessing when the Lord grants unto our young people many talents, unto our fathers and mothers, and how sad it is when those talents, when they are used not for the coming of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, but when they are used in the world and under the banner of the prince of the devil. The father as head of the household, mothers in the midst of the children. What a privilege it is when we may use our talents in the right way. Then Paul, he was very sincere. But we can be sincere and yet sincerely mistaken. We think of false religions, missionaries. They have come among heathens on account of that innate knowledge that there is a God, a higher supreme being, an impression of right and wrong. Then there have been times among that people when there were special judgments, when there was a drought or sickness, that they had an impression that their gods had to be appeased, and that they have even sacrificed of their own children to appease their gods. If we think of Islam, September 11, many years ago, then what a sincerity there was, those pilots that were pilots of those planes, that they have crashed into the Twin Towers, and they were taught that they would receive a very nice place in heaven with many virgins. They surely were sincere, but they were sincerely mistaken. False religions, sometimes their sincerity puts us to shame, that we are so lukewarm under the truth here of that one thing needful, that we need to be converted, that we need to become a sheep, and that we can live so easy upon this world. The last time, our last 2 points, they were the bitter persecution that Saul yielded and the light that Saul needed. We shall say a few more words about that persecution and then concerning that light that Paul needed, that he received in our text in beginning, because the church does not learn everything at once. Concerning that persecution, it was a great trouble for Paul that there has come a Jesus, and for him, he did not understand that Jesus has come to fulfill the Old Testament ceremonial laws. And for Paul, it seemed that it was an other doctrine. For so many years, their fathers have striven for those ceremonial laws, that they were kept up in its purity. And now it was told it was not necessary. Paul even had examples out of the Old Testament in Numbers 25, when the children of Israel committed whoredom with the people of Moab and the Midianites. And then, alas, there was a man and a woman that were so bold. That is an awful thing, congregation. When we become bold in the church concerning sin, no shame, no respect, no impression that there is a God that dwelleth in the heavens. And now there was a man and a woman that have become very bold. And then a Phinehas, he has went with a dagger and killed that man and that woman. And he has received a great blessing. The Lord has spoken a blessing upon him and his house. Thus maybe, as Paul thought, I must be as that Phinehas. And then surely, then I have an assured place in heaven. Oh, let me repeat it, congregation, that a Paul was concerned where he was traveling to. and that he needed a place in heaven, that he needed to be a sheep, an obedient sheep, a sheep that had a close place with the Lord. Then we read in Acts 7 with Stephen, when he was given to speak to the nation, and where he has called them uncircumcised of heart. And when he was stoned, then it is specifically mentioned that Paul has stood there guarding over the clothes of those witnesses and those that were stoning. We would think that there have been times that the conscience of Paul has spoken, that the question was asked, the Christians, the followers of Jesus, what wrong and what harm are they doing? An example, at least so it should be. So it must also be with us and our children, that we are an example in the community in all ways, business life, school, wherever we are called to be, that we may be an example then undoubtedly for Paul. Then there have been times that his conscience has spoken. What are they now doing wrong? The example in former chapters that there have been those that have even sold their farm and that they have given it to the church that the poor may be helped. But Paul was so ignorant, and he needed that light. In Acts 8, verse 1, then we read concerning Stephen, that Saul was consenting unto his death. And he has written to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, verse 13, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. In the book of Leviticus and Numbers, when it speaks of sacrifices, then there is 13 times mentioned a sins of ignorance, and I even read in Numbers 15, verse 13, for sins of presumption, there was no sacrifice. What an instruction and a warning for us and our children. And now, of course, we have heard it. Peter and John, when they have preached in Acts 3, we have heard it in former weeks from verse 19. And the verses surrounding it, that he has spoken, that they have done it ignorantly. By nature, then there is so much ignorance. But then we do well to examine each of our hearts, whether we do sin ignorantly, or that notwithstanding the loving instruction and the tender admonishments that we boldly, that we serve the world. And now our first point, that is Jesus's a powerful stopping. And then we read, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, because in verse 2, then it becomes evident that Paul has heard that Christianity was spreading and that there was also a church in the large city of Damascus, approximately 240 kilometers away. And then Paul, we read it, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, this way. That refers to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers, whether they were men or women. Ah, Saul, dost thou not have a little compassion? Not only concerning the leaders, the men, but the women and the mothers with children. Paul, is there then no compassion that you can not only focus maybe on the ministers, the elders, and the deacons, but have you now come so low, such an enmity in your heart, that you shall take those mothers away from their dear children? Ah, when man is left over to himself, our deep fallen Adam, we have heard from the Confession of Faith, article number 15, of our original sin, that it is as a root and as a fountain. And then how necessary that we ask the Lord that we may be kept, that he gives us over, not over, to the foolishness and the enmity of our heart, that we may still have a tender conscience, and that we may be restrained. He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Damascus, that is one of the oldest civilized cities, thought to be built from a grandson from Noah. We read of Damascus in Genesis 15, verse 2, that Eliezer, the servant of Abram, he has come from Damascus. We read in 2 Kings 5 of Naaman, who has become leprous, that he was given to say when he was commanded to wash himself in the Jordan River, Arlfana and Pharpar, are they not much superior to the river of Jordan? The city of Damascus was a very fertile city, a fertile plain, and in that city, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have come. The gospel was preached. There was a church established. And now Paul, surely then he was given to delight, thought that he was doing the Lord a service. Oh, on that way to Damascus, he must have thought how good it would be if he could arrest many followers of Jesus and bring them to Jerusalem, where they would be put to death. But now the wonderful grace of God. Many people, when they think of the conversion of Paul, they think that he had a different conversion than most of God's people. And it is true. Very remarkable circumstances, a very powerful stopping. But as we consider the conversion of Paul, then we must examine our hearts. And then there shall be a people that have experienced by the grace of God the things that Paul has experienced. No, that does not mean we have to be a persecutors. Nevertheless, the same Spirit, the Lord, is free and sovereign. The one he converts, like a Paul, and another like a Timothy, and many times they are jealous of one another because Paul always has experienced that sin of persecution completely blotted out of God's book, washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord remembers the sin of his people no more. But that does not mean that Paul has forgotten. he has never forgotten. Oh, what a tears he must have shed. How often, tis not all written in God's word, but God's people, think of David, one that feared the Lord. He was given to say in Psalm 22 that he was given to trust the Lord on his mother's breast. And still in Psalm 25, verse 7, remember not the sins of my youth. Oh, then it cannot be different that Paul has wept bitter tears when he has visited the graves of those saints, that he was the cause that they were put to death. What a blessing it is, young people. May the Lord keep us from going into the world and in the places of vanity and wickedness. But we still need the same work. All with Timothy. He has learned the same matters. And now it cannot be different that of Timothy, that he was so jealous of Paul. Are there a few Timothys in my midst? And what can those Timothys be so troubled with? Do you know? Oh, if they only had a powerful conversion like Paul. If they could tell exactly the time, the text, the sermon, then they would be so happy and they would think they would never doubt. But when the Lord works more gradually, then there can be many questions. But the fruit shall be the same. Oh, if Paul had not persecuted the church, he would never have to weep those bitter tears, because congregation, when the Lord works, he does not convict us. Give an example. If we have never been at a bar, we must never go there. But if we have never been there and the Lord converts us, then we shall not be convicted of that sin. Oh, we shall learn that it all lives in our heart. You've heard from Article 15 of that original sin, and that the church is given to sigh, bitter sighs, for the church. Only becomes a greater wonder. Grace and grace alone. And now we read, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, that is from man's side and from Paul's side, not from the Lord's side. Because the Lord, from that never-ending eternity, then he has chosen his people, written in the book of life, but not only chosen that people, but that degree of God that also concerns the exact time and the circumstances when that elect church would be wrought upon. Thus from the Lord, of course, not suddenly, but that was from Paul's side. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Then also concerning, that is also instruction. May it be instruction for a waiting soul. It is clear from verse 14 in this chapter that church in Damascus, because Ananias said unto the Lord, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Thus the church in Damascus, the leaders, the family circles, fathers and mothers and children, they have heard that Paul, like a wolf, He has received those letters, and he was on the way to Damascus. What do you think that church in Damascus has done, boys and girls? Oh, how they must have prayed and begged and asked the Lord for safety, protection. The Lord may watch over them. Whether they have prayed that Saul would be converted before he would reach Damascus, it is not all written in God's word. Of course, a true prayer that has to be given to the church by the Holy Spirit. And now, do we not read in our text words, Ephesians 3 verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." For that church in Damascus, then undoubtedly it was clear that Saul, that Paul, that he was coming closer by. Undoubtedly they have figured it out in their mind. So many kilometers in a day. And Paul was as a raving wolf. He's traveled very quickly. Thus he must nearly be by the city. And now we see the wonderful works of the Lord, that the Lord has intervened right before he was before Damascus. What an encouragement for a praying people with a special request. And where it seems so impossible, and that maybe you are afraid, it seems the Lord, there can be a people that may believe that the Lord has heard their prayer, but now concerning that answer, and now the Lord has answered, undoubtedly in a different way, unless the Lord has given a prayer. The church in Damascus has also experienced there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. But just before he came into Damascus to arrest and devour the church of Jesus Christ, then it was the Lord's time. When we read our text words, then let us ask the free willers that tell us that fallen man still is able to believe of themselves, that they can convert themselves. Then let us ask free willers point to this text and to explain it and ask them concerning Paul. How has it now come? The letters in his pocket, ready to arrest the church that he may be killed, and that suddenly, unexpectedly, it has become so different. What do you ascribe that to? Do you ascribe that to Paul? That is impossible. Thus our text words, away with that free will religion. What a sad religion it is. All for proud man that still think he has something. But that free will religion that tries to glorify man and abase the grace of God. But how clear grace. In our text words, then it is fulfilled. What Paul has written to the Ephesians in chapter 2, the verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Then it is true in our text. It is not of him that willeth nor that runneth, but that of God that hath mercy. Oh, then it is clear in our text. Oh, we have told you in the past week that Saul that means to be desired. Oh, then he was a desired one of the Lord, a desire to be a sheep, to be his jewel, but also to be his servant, that he may be enabled to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Ah, then we see the wonders of free and sovereign grace. And now we have said the past week that Paul, that he needed light. That was so missing in his life. And that we all need. And what do we need light about? Who the Lord is. His attributes. That it may all become true in our life. Real in our life. Because on that journey to Damascus, then God has become real in his life. Oh, he has studied the Old Testament. Undoubtedly, Paul, then he has memorized many portions. He could tell you where certain truths were found. Then undoubtedly, then he could speak for hours about the God of the Old Testament. But now on the way to Damascus, God has become real. Ah, then we need light, who the Lord is, and light who we are. And that we are great sinners, fallen sinners, transgressors from the womb, that we have transgressed all the commandments of the Lord. And when the Lord works, then we are given to beg for light. Because then we learn that we are so ignorant. Congregation, when we come on the school of Jesus Christ, then we shall never graduate. Like some of our students have done in the past week. But then we always remain on that school. And there are times becomes a wonder that we may still receive a little instruction, a correction, and a rebuke. Thus that needed light. And in the further leadings, oh, what a light. And I read in Psalm 36, verse 9, "And thy light we see light." Ah, oh, for the uncovered sinner, what a light they need to learn that they can never please the Lord no more, that they can never be saved by that broken covenant of works. Ah, then maybe some say, but we have learned that from our youth. We have learned that from catechism, that in that broken covenant of works, that we can never be saved. Thus, when the Lord begins that good work and he sheds that love abroad in their heart and they receive such a love for the Lord, for his law and for his word, everything that is connected with his people, and when they may see that the Lord is so just and that he requires perfect satisfaction, then they have learned that they cannot be saved by that covenant of works. Thus they shall not try it. No, then they shall immediately flee to that fountain. Is it true, people? Are there people that understand it? May I ask you, are there souls that are trying to please the Lord? I hope so. Depression of your sin. There's an account of that love. But now that church needs light, same as Paul. And now we read, there shined round about him a light from heaven. When we read in Genesis 1 of the creation, what was the first thing that the Lord has made? Light. And then secondly, we could draw many lines between the first creation and the second creation. Then that people receives light in beginning. But on the second day, there has come a separation between the atmosphere above and the waters beneath. And that also takes place in the life of his people. Then they receive a distinguishing knowledge concerning the things of the Lord. Oh, on the third day there are fruits. And on the fourth day, then those bodies of light. Thus we can draw many lines between the first creation and the second creation. And now concerning the conversion of Paul. Then Paul, in our chapter, boys and girls, I think they know it, that Acts has also been written by Luke. But then in Acts 22, then Paul is given in Jerusalem before that Jewish people and before the leaders a testimony of his conversion. And in Acts 26 in Caesarea, before King Agrippa, then by renewal, then he is told of the wonderful work, the wonderful stopping, the powerful stopping of Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus. And now we read in Acts 22 that it was about noon. And in Acts 26 that it was at midday, and that light was above the brightness of the sun. That can also be instruction for souls. When Paul was stopped, then it was at 12 o'clock in the afternoon when the sun was at its highest, shining very brightly. But then there was a light above the brightness of the sun. And now when the Lord works, then those souls can be troubled concerning that light. All they have experienced that it has become so different. They cannot explain it. But they have received those desires and longings after the living God. But now there can be a question concerning that light, whether it is a saving light or whether it is only of a temporal nature, because with Saul, it was at midnight. And so, the Lord many times uses providential circumstances accompanied with his holy word for the conversion of sinners. And when that takes place, then the question can be whether it was only that providential circumstance, a sick bed, a great affliction, a great trial, a death, where I have become very troubled, can be when we are quite emotional, a tender conscience, and that way we can say that we are living under a certain special light. It is a blessing. When we may be tender, not given over to the hardness of the heart, that we may sometime even weep. And when we think of that great day of judgment, concerning that separation, when we may have deep convictions of the truth since our youth, and then when the Lord begins with the light of his Holy Spirit, then there can be the question in their hearts, whether it was now truly the saving light of the Holy Spirit, or only a fruit of their own doing, or a consequence of a providential happening. Then that people, they can be brought into the need and ask the Lord to confirm it, that it was truly his work. Thus, even with Paul, oh, it is clear in the life of Paul, it was so sudden and so clear But still, at midday, and then a special light. And then how shall we now know whether it is the true work of the Lord? Are there souls that are troubled with those things that you have maybe a hope that the Lord has begun, that it has become different, that you were given to see things differently and things that you have never seen before? Or are we not troubled with it? Can we so easy say, I am still a goat, unconverted, unconcerned? Is that our picture, congregation? Oh, may you be given to ask the Lord for that light, that it may shine in the darkness before you shall come to that place where there is eternal darkness, and there the light shall never shine. How shall we know? Oh, how often the question for many a soul. There's a point I long to know. Oft that causes anxious thought. Am I thine or am I not? Is it only the light, the midday light, convictions, a tender conscience, by the common goodness of the Lord? Or has that bright light above the light of the sun, as we read in Acts 26, has that no shone in our hearts? That becomes evident by the fruits. Let us first sing. Psalter 423, the stanzas 2 and 3. Consuming flames deploy before him to destroy his foemen round about, him who vainly seek to flout him. His lightning bolts when hurled enlightened all the world, and what follows, 423, 2 and 3. Jesus Christ arresting Paul on the way to Damascus. Jesus' powerful stopping, and now secondly, Jesus' uncovering question. Paul, he has come to Damascus to arrest the church. And he was arrested by the Lord. Paul, he has had those letters in his pockets that church may be taken hold of. And now on the way to Damascus, then Paul received the letter of guilt home. And then we read, with that light was as a powerful hand, and he fell to the earth. In Acts 26, Paul was given to tell that we were all falling. It was such a force that all his helpers, they were fallen to the earth. And then we read, and he fell to the earth. Then we already have a mark of grace. Then we can hear with the one more powerful, more extraordinary, but God's people shall also experience what Paul has experienced. Because when the Lord comes over, when the Lord works, and the one in a gentler way than another, the one is more drawn, the other more driven, then we are given to fall and bow. Then we are given to fall before the Lord. Then more often, of course, we all bow our knees, right, boys and girls? Come out of bed in the morning, at night. And I hope there are special times, maybe that you go to your bedroom. The special need, may it be with your sins, that you were given to bow. When the Lord works by his grace, then we are given to fall before the Lord and under the Lord. Then we are given to bow under the authority of his holy word. Then the Lord, he sheds that love abroad in us, in our heart. And then we read, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying. Thus he heard a special voice. Also in the way of conversion, then congregation, then we receive other ears. Then it can even be that we think that the minister, he has preached differently the sermon. Oh, it can be when the Lord converts us that there are parts of that sermon or a text out of God's word that continually comes back, that rings in our ears. Thus then we hear already that the way that the Lord has converted Paul, that is the way he converts all his people. All a falling, a bowing before the Lord. And that is such a precious bowing and a humble bowing. And such an, oh, that people learn that they are so unworthy. Then they are given to bow before that great and majestic God, who has everything in his hands, even their breath, their life. And then they learn that he is so worthy to be bowed to. Oh, that is an account of that love that the Lord sheds abroad in the heart. And it is true, the one can be more troubled with the great judgments and justice of the Lord that they do not realize that love later when they look back. Because it is such a wonderful work when the Lord shows that he is so just and so holy, and that he must punish each of our sins. Why does that people now fall before him? Why does that people not run away? Because of that love, that drawing love, that they are given to adore and worship that majestic God against whom they have sinned so grievously, and that we also learn in the life of Paul. Because then we read, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Called two times. Very important, very urgent, that a soul must hear. Have different examples in God's word that the Lord is called the saints, and that he has mentioned their names two times. Boys and girls, if your father and mother would take you aside this week and mention your name two times in a row, then you would realize that they would have something important and urgent to say unto you. Then, of course, I'm not talking when fathers and mothers, when they call your name once, and when you do not listen or pretend not to listen, and they have to call again. Oh, boys and girls, also in the summer holidays, that you may try to please your parents. But now two times in a row, we have the example in Genesis 22. Abraham, Abraham. He was ready to slay a son. Genesis 46. Jacob, Jacob, on the way to Egypt. And Jacob was so troubled, he needed the favor of the Lord. Exodus 3, Moses, Moses, at that burning bush, what an important message. 1 Samuel 3, Samuel, Samuel, in the night watches. We even read in the Old Testament that the Lord is called a name three times. In the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 22, verse 29, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. In the New Testament, Luke 10, Martha, Martha, ah, she loved Jesus, but she was so busy serving, and she saw Mary sitting there. She thought she needed a rebuke. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Oh, think, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as the wheat. Thus, when mentioned two times, urgent, very important. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That why? What a deep and a profound and uncovering word. And when the Lord works by a spirit, then we become much exercised with that word, why? For Saul was a special actual sin that he was convicted of. Did not begin with his original sin, as we have heard, out of the confession of faith. But a special actual sin that Saul had been committing. So many times the Lord begins with the one with this sin, the other that sin. And then that question, why? That is impressed deeply upon the heart. And then how ashamed and how guilty that people becomes. Oh, we could multiply it out. Are there people that are troubled with those whys? Or do you not have so much trouble with your sins? Oh, when the Lord uncovers and we are brought back, why did you not listen to your conscience? When your conscience has spoken so loudly and clearly, and notwithstanding, you have went through. Why did thou not turn unto me when I have spoken in such special ways? Sickness on the hospital bed. Maybe a promise made that your life would become different. And after the Lord has healed you, that you have continued. Why? When the Lord has spoken by death, a family member, a friend, may be troubled, may be cried, wept. But why did you not hearken to my voice? Why did you continue? Why, when there was so seriously preached, even about the day of judgment, and that you have heard of goats and of sheep, why did you not hearken? Why did you not go home and come on your knees and cry mightily unto the Lord, begging him that you may even become a little lamb? Why, when maybe friends have come and asked, are you going along tonight to a place where you did not belong, that you knew it so well, why did you not speak out and says, friends, we may not go to such a place because we shall be destroyed and the Lord shall come against us? Why, when the devil has come with his temptation, why did you listen so quickly to him? Maybe little, maybe no resistance. With addictions, it could be multiplied out. Do you hear it, congregation, that in the conversion of Paul, that the way of God's people is so clearly and vividly laid out? We must close. The Lord willing, another time we may continue. But now the question is, has there now come a time that the light has shone, that you were given to see things so differently? Maybe that you even wondered why all people do not see it. That you were given to wonder that friends, other people, that they can live so easy upon this world as if there is no God and no eternity. Have you heard your name mentioned? Oh, that also in the way of the judgments of the Lord, that you are sure that those judgments, they were preached for you personally. Have we become exercised with that word, why? Oh, for the uncovering of our sins, and yet a prayer for mercy, the wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, young and old. We need that light, the light, virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ. John 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world. And he sends forth his Holy Spirit that that church may receive that light in the beginning and on the continuance of that way. How necessary for those that have learned to pray, that we may pray with Elijah on that hill of Dothan, with the enemies around for that servant. Alas, Master, what must we do, Lord? Open thou his eyes that he may see. Ah, may we be given to beg with the Bartimaeus, what wilt thou that I do unto thee? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Amen. Let us close. Lord, then we have heard of thy wonderful works of free and sovereign grace, that an enemy would be made a friend, and that a persecutor, that he soon would become a preacher. And thou art the same still today. Then we have heard of the experiences of Paul in the beginning, and those are not strange matters in that uncovering and in that drawing work. Lord, wilt thou then convert us and our children, as thou hast converted all thy people? We need to become a little lamb, and those lambs, they need to grow into a sheep. Bless thy word to that end. Watch over us in this day. Bring us under the means of grace. Also in this evening hour, forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 415. Let us only sing the second stanza. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see. And what follows, 415, only the second stanza. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.